If you would take the scriptures and turn in them with me to Revelation in chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 21. Revelation 19, verses 1 through 21. And beginning in verse 1, these are God's words, and so give your attention to them. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servant shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. And those are God's words. Remember where we're at upon the great Babylon's fall. Of the last chapter, which is the Antichrist's fall, the papacy. The first four verses is further praise of the angels and the saints in glory because of this. their praise in the Lord. And praising the Lord for His justice toward His great enemy and mercy towards His people. And then through verse 10, the marriage between Christ and the church is proclaimed and perfected as the saints are perfected. And then the rest of the passage imaging Christ on a horse who comes in judgment to make war against His enemies. He, the bridegroom and the head of the church, and the details here of His success in this war. Our Savior is a conquering King over His and our enemies. And not only is He our conquering King, but He is our husband and our Savior, and we give Him all praise, not only for His love, but His bringing such judgment upon His enemies. And so we praise the Lord for His goodness, but also His holiness and justice. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your holiness. We're thankful for Your justice. We're thankful that You are working now to bring about, at the right time, Your judgment upon Your enemies. Perfect justice. And we look forward to that time because we know that those who have hurt us, caused suffering to us, and the rest of Your bride, even persecuted to the point of death, and killing many, many who are martyrs, who were faithful, and who remained faithful. And Father, we're thankful that through Your Son, You will exact Your vengeance at the right time, and bring about justice for such people as these. And Father, we ask that You would bring about justice to our enemies, those who would try to bring us down, those who would harm us in spirit, as we see the psalmist often struggling because of the wicked and their evil tongue that we heard and sang about this morning in Psalm 12. And how even they harm our joy, and we, because of this struggle in our faith, Father, may that not be true of us, that You would strengthen us, and that we would always trust in the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, and so cause us to rest upon Him. And not on our circumstances, not on those things that we see with our eyes, but upon the promises that You give, that we know that You are always faithful. And we know even that Christ is praying for us and living to make intercession for us. And every answer that You give to Him as he prays is yes and amen. And so, Father, hear his prayers for us. Father, we pray at the right time that You would bring an end to Babylon, the Antichrist. We ask that You would cause those who are under the Antichrist's influence to come out from her and to stand with You. And we pray that we would stand with You as well, that we would be on the Lord's side, and that we would submit to every leaning of our King, Jesus Christ. For He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, we do ask for Your help with Julie and Mark, who are not feeling well today, and Marissa, and thankful that Arian is able to be here. We pray for Levi that he would be able to sleep well tonight. And Mark, we know that Mark often struggles with sleep. Pray that You would give him sleep as well. Father, rest our bodies and keep us from harm and illness and viruses. And if that not be Your will, we ask that You would strengthen us to serve You in those times. We think of the history of the church, and often when such viruses that become greater than normal come about, that we often see your people serving and helping, and we ask that that would be true today, and we ask that you would, that we would not fear our health. We don't have to fear our to be sick, because we know that our bodies are taken care of by you. Though, make us wise as we seek to share the gospel and to tell people of their need of a Savior in Christ alone, and use even sickness to bring that about for the spread of your kingdom. And Father, we, as we've learned, we ask that you would bring about the fullness of the Gentiles to come in, that many Jews would be saved, so that it would appear as if all Jews were coming unto Christ and into the church, and that even from that many more Gentiles would come in. We ask that you would use us as instruments to proclaim the gospel, as you showed through Romans 11 for us, and that Paul had a great sorrow and grief over his fellow countrymen, the Jews, and yet he focused his ministry on the Gentiles, not only because you commanded him to, but because he knew with all of his being that for the Jews, his fellow countrymen, to be saved, that he must minister first to the Gentiles. And so, Father, we pray with him that you would bring their salvation about at the right time, and you would bring them back into your church, into the graft them back into the olive tree. Father, we pray. And Father, we ask also that you would sanctify your church, you would sanctify our denomination that we are a part of, that you would cleanse us of all of our sin, that you would bring about a great reformation, that you would turn us from our ways that we are perhaps ignorant of, or confused about in your scriptures. Bring clarity to your scriptures, and may we, as elders and presbyters and as our synod, that we would rule according to your word, and that we would rule for the good of your church, which is always going to be according to your word. So make us faithful. And make us faithful to your word today, even amongst our congregation, especially for the elders, that you would bring reformation to us. And Father, that you would bring reformation in each individual heart here this evening. And you would sanctify your people. And if there are any here who do not know you, even of our children, but even of adults who have professed faith, Father, we ask that you would turn them to your Son, Jesus Christ, that as we examine ourselves this week in preparing our hearts for the Lord's Supper, that you would turn us each time we meditate and see our sin, that we would turn immediately to our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our only hope when we have considered our sin. And Father, finally, we ask that you would bless us and not curse us. Do not judge us. We know that we have sinned against you. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our sin as far as the east is from the west, and make us as white as snow, even through the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. And we have that great assurance in him, our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And we're thankful for this, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.